As Lincoln mentioned, this is a case study for cabbage, but this production system could be used for various other vegetable crops, and we've actually looked at this system for a double cropping system, kind of touching on what Tatiana was talking about with the economics, to try and make it more economical if you can get two crops out of the same plastic mulch. So I'm going to give you a kind of an overview of where we've been and where we're at now with this drip irrigation. And if you can look at this picture, you can see the this is drip irrigation side by side with seepage irrigation. So this is on a farm in the Tri-County agricultural area around St. Augustine area, and it's real flat and poorly drained soils. So just to keep that in mind, this is where we're headed to. We're trying to work with the growers to get that conversion over, and there's been some definite hurdles to overcome. But so where we started was with the growers came to Lincoln with an idea that they know with the BMPs coming down the pike that they need to be more efficient with their water and nutrient management, and they have this idea of these wide plastic mulch beds, which is basically it fits into their system because they can take two of their bare ground rows and pull them together and put plastic on top of it. So it's a real easy, option to slide right into their system that they already have in place. So it's real adaptable. So here's traditional seepage in our area. We have furrows on either side of the field, which is visible in this top picture. Right here, this is an irrigation furrow, and on this other side, so this is 60 feet in between, and what you get is real poor irrigation water distribution, as Lincoln mentioned earlier. They also have a lower plant population because of all these, you've got single rows of plants. With the plastic culture, we're able to put more rows of plants together and actually increase the plant population per acre, making it more efficient from that point of view. We get a seepage has a poor water distribution, as you see here, and because we have these high water tables maintained with seepage irrigation, when you get a heavy rain event, you get ponding such as that. You increase your nutrient runoff potential. You have more weed pressure than you do in plastic culture. And if I go back, you have salinity and climate issues. See, with plastic culture and drip irrigation, we can manage for a drought better than they can in seepage. A lot of the growers feel like in a drought condition, they can't irrigate enough. And so with drip irrigation, that's not really such a problem because you got the plastic culture keeping the moisture contained within the bed. So more about plastic culture. It's just what we're looking at with the cabbage is we really like the four rows of plants that you can see down there. Our drip irrigation lines run between two rows of plants, so there's an even distribution of moisture and nutrients between the crop rows. We can increase the plant populations, as I said before, from about 48,000. They're at like 48,400 plants per hectare. We're at 70. It depends on your configuration, your in-row plant spacing. But we can exceed 70,000 plants per hectare, which is a considerable increase in plant population. Again, you get the moisture retention and the weed suppression. And I put salinity on here because as a strategy with drip irrigation, you can push those salts from the top down below the root system with continual drip irrigation. So it's a strategy for high salinity wells. So a roadmap, where do we started? We started off with the growers came to Lincoln with that idea with the wide plastic mulch beds. Well, you know, how do we configure the plants on this bed to make it practical for the growers? So we looked at population and row configurations for our first step of the game. Next, we looked at nitrogen rates. Once we figured out kind of where we wanted to be at with the configuration and the plant populations, how do we supply the nitrogen to these? Because the recommendations that we found are all based on bare ground or two rows of plants. And with four or three rows, you know, we needed to do the research to to be able to make a recommendation to a grower, this is the kind of range where you need to be with your nutrients. And then we took the approach of doing an on-farm trial, and that's really where the rubber meets the road, where you take all your research, you put it out on a convention or out on a commercial farm, and really try to see, can you make it work? So the plant population trial, a little bit about the methods here. We had, over the course of 2 years, we did three planting dates. In 2010, we planted in December, which is late in our cabbage production season. And we liked what we saw, but for the following year, we wanted to see kind of an earlier planting date and a later planting date, because we were talking with the growers and we thought maybe we'd see some differences there. We had a split plot design where we looked at either three or four rows of plants, and we had the in-row spacings, as you can see across the bottom. For those of you that are more used to inches like I am, that's 6 inches, 8 inches, 10 inches, 12 inches, and 14 inches in between your plants. And so a little bit more. Ooh, I guess that slide didn't come out here. This is what the three row and four row look like. So you got three row on the left and four row on the right, and those in row spacings are between the plants. So just to give you a little bit of a visual of what it looks like. Here's some of the results that we saw. That first December plantings on the bottom left, we had really high yields compared to the following season. And see if, nope, it didn't come out either. Okay. Take this pointer here. So we're at about 60,000 megatons per hectare. And oh, we uploaded the wrong presentation. That's what happened. Okay, so we're in pounds per acre here. So we're 60,000 pounds per acre. It's the same graph, just a different scale. I'm used to this. And over here in October, the following year, we had much reduced yields. But the same trend that we can see here in our higher populations, this is four rows. Okay, let me explain our axes here. We've got our three rows over here. These are all three rows, and they're all set up the same way. And your four rows over here, and your in-row spacing increases as you go to the right. So our highest plant population is our four rows with 6 inches in between plants. So you got the most plants out there. And what you see is you have in black, your black bars are all your total yields, and gray bars are your marketable yields. There's a bigger gap here between your total and your marketable yields in your highest plant populations. So we know that that's a little bit too high of a plant population. You don't want to throw a bunch of plants out into the field and not have them grow. That's just wasted money on plants. But so in a year that's less favorable for cabbage production, these trends are exacerbated. So we know that having a ton of plants out there isn't going to give you any benefit in a year that's not good for cabbage production. If you have a good year for cabbage production, you know, you can get away with having a little bit more plants out there. So we want to kind of shoot for middle of the road. So what we chose to do our nitrogen rate study on, and it was purely just to get a per plant, really? Okay. Purely just to get a per plant kind of nitrogen, what does each plant need? So we picked our middle of the road, four row, 10 inch. Here we didn't have the best yields, but we had great yields over here, so we figured we'll split our difference. We'll go with a plant population that kind of makes sense to us and go on for our end rate study. Split plot design again. Just to look at sensor and fixed irrigation. We had a timer set to go off 3 times a day. If the sensor read that the soil moisture was at field capacity or higher, it did not irrigate. We didn't see any differences between our fixed and sensor irrigation treatments because it was a really dry year, so they both just pretty much irrigated every time the clock said to irrigate. But that confirms the idea of you can set your timer, put a irrigation sensor out there, and you won't over-irrigate, which is kind of a nice tool for a grower. So then if it rains or something, you get an influence of some other source of irrigation water, then you don't have to worry about over-irrigating as much. Our yields for our N rates, what we saw was, you know, more nitrogen we put down, more yield we got. This year was a funny year with yield, but I've done some more research this last season to kind of add to this. We shifted our scale of our nitrogen rates here across the bottom up to where we can kind of catch that plateau and find out where the optimum end rate is. Those results are not in yet, but we know we need to be somewhere around 295 kilograms per hectare or higher to achieve our maximum yields. This is what it looks like. If you don't give your plants nitrogen, they don't do so good. I just figured that was a nice visual to see. You know, you can definitely see the difference between these nitrogen rates out in the field. It's not necessarily like the salinity issue where you'd have dwarf plants and not really notice it. Where the rubber meets the road, the on-farm demonstration, we looked at 3 and 4 rows. Again, this is based on the suggestion of the grower. Our two drip tapes are 1.2 meter wide beds, 2 meter in-row spacings. It's the same way we did it on our research farm, just way bigger. 396 meters, just a quarter mile. That's a pretty long way to go with drip irrigation and plastic mulch. And we learned some lessons there, but we also proved that it was feasible to do, and we had some good yields off of it. So, you know, our growers are really excited about the results of that trial, and because of that, this year we're going to do about 5 acres. This is about an acre right here, and this is an acre right there. So we did 2 acres last year. We're going to do 5 acres this year with that same grower, and kind of hopefully we can push that traditional grower using seepage irrigation more in the direction of drip irrigation so he can reduce his water use and increase his efficiencies. A little bit more about that trial, and I'm going real quick through some of this stuff. If there's questions afterwards, I'll be happy to take those. But yeah, I'd like to thank everybody, and if there's any questions, we can talk about it afterwards. I know I had to go pretty quick because we're running out of time here.